Good morning and welcome to Fort Smith Country. I'm Ron Breeding, and today our guest is a man that's been the center of some controversy recently, the evangelist who, with his late wife Susan, founded the Tony and Susan Alamo Foundation, a religious group based in rural Crawford County between Dyer and Alma. Tony Alamo, welcome to our show this morning.
Thank you.
I know you don't do interviews with the press very often, and we appreciate the opportunity to talk with you. First question I wanted to ask you, sir, is the foundation is in its 13th year this year, and I believe it was founded out in California. If you could, please explain your background and how you got into this and how the foundation was started with you and your wife.
All right, well, I've been out evangelizing for 18 years now. We just started the foundation, as you said, 13 years ago, but the name of it was because we started to call it several other things, and then somebody else already had those names, so we knew that nobody else would have the name Tony and Susan Alamo Christian Foundation. And, are you asking me about my conversion, how I became a Christian? Or
if you want to talk about that.
Well, I had a supernatural experience with the Lord around 18 years ago, and didn't believe in God or Jesus. Didn't want to know about anything Christianity. I was just on my way to make money, that's all. And this supernatural thing happened to me in an office, and I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ.
And tell us about the history of the organization. It started in California, that's right?
Right.
And recently the foundation's been under investigation by the U.S. Labor Department, and I know that's been a touching subject with you. It's alleged that the foundation failed to pay workers in the foundation businesses, and there are some 7 businesses here in Alma, I understand, for the work they performed. And you've called the investigation a Gestapo inquiry, I believe. Could you explain what you mean by that?
Well, the United States Department of Labor knows that the IRS has investigated us for 8.5 years, and the time that I started calling them a Gestapo type investigation was when they came up into our homes, even though we had taken them on 2 tours before. We'd shown them millions and millions of dollars of receipts, books, and records, and when they were on tour of the different homes before, told me that they knew, without a doubt, that these homes and all the facilities that we had up there were far better than the ones that they lived in themselves. And so, after they had only gone through around 10% of the facilities, they told me that they were too tired, it was too hot, and they just wanted to go. They could see that everything was just fine. So because of their laziness and apparently the heat, they went home and said that they wanted to hire, at the expense of taxpayers here in Arkansas, a committee to come up and go through not only the homes, go through every room, the closets, take pictures and measure, go through the knives, forks, spoons, through the dishes, and all their worldly belongings. And people in the religious field, I'm not going to say every one of them, because I believe that a lot of the church, of the supposedly Christian churches, they've become apostate. They're dead. They're not doing anything for the Lord. But the ones that are really doing something, they're trying to destroy the freedom of religion. And I believe that subversion has entered into different federal agencies, and they're trying to destroy the freedom of religion. And there's no question in my mind in it, and that's why I've saved and kept such accurate records all these years, because I know that subversion is in our country. Okay. It used to be when people would say that there's a commie under your bed. He's no longer under your bed. You see them on TV all the time. They're in our universities. They're in the United States Department of Labor and other federal government agencies.
Okay. My next question, sir, is that the foundation has a strange public image, and that partially is due maybe to the cloak of secrecy.
No, because of the press.
Because of the press.
Right.
And and at times your unwillingness to speak with the press in the past.
Well, our unwillingness to speak with the press was because the press, if you'll recall, just a few years back, they were stating that we had a tunnel up on our property, for instance, that was 3 miles long. That would be one of the world's wonders. I don't believe the Holland Tunnel in New York is even that large. Of course, there's nobody wants to mention that anymore because people realize how ridiculous that is. They also were quoting a kidnapper and a rapist who was just recently jailed. They were quoting him as though they were quoting Holy Writ. He's a kidnapper, a rapist. He's been accused of mayhem and even murder, and that's what the press was quoting about us, and so we just didn't want to get into it.
Your willingness to do this interview with us is indicative of a change in attitude, at least. You think the press has been a little more fair to you lately?
I think that Channel 5 here in Fort Smith did an excellent job on a 5-day part series on us. They quoted it just like it was, except for one thing. They said that we had several days to prepare. I wasn't going to do the interview at all, and I called them on Monday and said that they could come in the next day. But it was a good interview. I thought it was.
Okay, so you think sometimes, at least, the press can be fair?
If they wanted to be, yes, they could.
Before you devoted your life to religious work, your business was record promoter, and if you could tell us a little bit about that aspect of your life.
Well, it wasn't just record promotion. I was an impresario. I can take ideas. One thing that the press doesn't like to mention is that I own about $1.5 to $2 billion worth of record masters right now. I own a Beatles album that is valued at $600 million. I've owned this Beatles album for a lot of years. It's a record that has not been released. This album was given to me by Pete Best of the Beatles that wanted me to do a promotion for him, and he didn't have any money. He drummed on 17 of the Beatles' first records, Please Mr. Postman, I Want to Hold Your Hand, and he didn't get any money out of it. And so, because I know that the Lord is coming back to earth again real soon, because I knew it back then, 18 years ago, when I had this supernatural experience with the Lord, I've just kept it, and I have many other masters from European artists and that I have up there that I've not released, that are still very commercial.
Why wouldn't those albums be released and the money be used to further the foundation's work?
One of the reasons is because I believe it to be a ungodly group, the Beatles. There are many groups today that pray to Satan that their records will hit. And they have seances. My brother in Nashville is still in the record industry, and he went to Hollywood and was aghast at these things that they're doing now in the record industry and the things that the Beatles used to do back in that day and age. I'm not interested, after becoming a born-again Christian, in promoting anything like that at all.
Is that one reason you got out of that business?
No, it was... It was just that I'm so busy in the ministry now. I do occasional, I do records myself. I don't believe that there's anything wrong in doing a love song because the Lord commands you to love your wife. And I have done a love song album for my wife, but it was music that was from decades ago when music was pure and clean.
Because of your reluctance to do interviews in the past, many people don't really understand what kind of life is led on the foundation property up here, or what kind of life the foundation members lead. Could you, if you would, just kind of run down an average day in the life of a foundation member?
I don't know if there's so much of an average day. It's,
what types of things do they do?
Well, for instance, one month they'll be out witnessing and testifying. I just send out several people to Europe this morning. I sent several of them to Scandinavia. We're opening up churches right now in Denmark, Norway, Sweden, and Finland. And then I'm opening a place in Italy, France, Germany, Spain, and England, and also Holland. And we just opened a church in New York City. So We're very busy doing that. We're winning this month. We're projecting 80,000 souls that we're winning to the Lord. The newspaper the other day, for instance, you're talking about things that are not so. She said that the only proof that we had of the souls were the phone calls that were coming in from the different missionaries. Right over there on the wall are letters from different organizations like prisons, penitentiaries, old age homes that we go into the ghetto, different organizations, mentally retarded homes. And she saw all of those letters on the wall. She could have called any of those people, and they have a count on how many people that we won to the Lord in those institutions.
How many, you say 80,000 souls are won per month. How many people are actually in the foundation working, witnessing for you?
I don't have the, you know, we don't keep numbers of how many people.
Any idea, though?
No, several hundred people out, and like I said, they'll be out for a month, and then they'll come in to the foundation and just pick up the different duties around, their chores, around their own home, mowing their lawn, making sure that the house is clean, if it's any repairs that need to be done. Very few people work at these small businesses in this small town here. This is not where the money is derived from for the foundation. These are just money-saving businesses that are arms of the foundation. They are related to the foundation. The IRS says that they're related to the foundation too. Not only do we feed and clothe and gas up the cars from these businesses and also repair the vehicles that go out on witnessing chains with this business out here, the transmission shop, but we also take the proceeds that come from the business and to help build the different homes here. And there isn't a one of these businesses where people don't witness and testify to every soul that comes in here. And we pray through more people in these businesses than most, probably all the churches in the state of Arkansas win. All year. We'll probably do that in a month in one of these businesses here.
You've claimed that you reach more souls for the Christian for the Christian cause than all the other churches in the world combined.
Right.
And that seems to be a very big statement and well, a remarkable success of the church. My question is, what plans do you have for the church's future, for the foundation's future?
Well, we're going into more towns, more cities, more countries. And the count will go up higher. We intend to do a day what we're doing now in a month. Yes, I believe without a doubt that we're winning more souls than all of them combined, because I'm in touch with most of what you call the church leaders in the country, and they're absolutely amazed at the amount of souls that we win, and they say that they don't ever even touch it.
Now, this may be a kind of a touchy subject, but when your wife died last April, you kind of went into hiding for a while and didn't really comment, as far as I know, have never commented publicly on her death. If you could kind of share some of your personal feelings about her passing away.
Well, it wasn't that we went into hiding. I mean, in the Bible, people mourn, and I mean, of course, people have gotten so far away from the Bible, and they've gotten so hardened, their hearts are so hardened from the tremendous amount of sin that people have become accustomed to today. Sin doesn't seem as sinful as it really is to the Lord. And when people live close to God, well, then their hearts are softer. And Susie, I took care of her for 14 years. She had this cancer for 14 years of our 18 years married together. We never were separated before. We were always together 24 hours a day. We worked together in the ministry. I've never loved anybody else in my whole life, and I always thought that God would completely heal Sue up, because I saw a vision of her being torn apart, but I saw her being put back together again, and so I believe that God is going to raise Sue up from the dead. And if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be able to, I don't know what I'd do, but it's a commandment in the Bible in the 10th chapter of Matthew, raise the dead. And I believe that can be done. God called Abraham his friend, and God called Abraham the father of faith because he believed that God could raise the dead. So if Abraham was God's friend. Whose friend is anyone's that says that God can't raise a person from the dead?
Do you believe that she will be raised from the dead soon because of your work? Or?
I believe that she will be raised soon. I don't have any message from the Lord on exactly when she's going to be raised from the dead. But I do know one thing. The key for an endorsement such as that from the Lord is to serve Him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your body. And I'm just working harder and stronger and more diligent than I ever have before in my life. And I believe that I'll be hitting 1 million souls a day. That's how vigilant I am going to be in doing this. I know that every time that a soul is won to the Lord Jesus Christ through the blood that He shed on the cross for us, that all the angels in heaven rejoice. And I know that the Lord is very happy with people that win souls by the foolishness of preaching the gospel.
That leads me into my next question, and that is, how does your faith differ from that of other fundamentalist churches? On the surface, they seem to be quite similar. How do they differ?
Well, they talk a good religion. I do it. The Lord, God is the God that is a giver, and His people, His true people, are givers. They're not takers. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus loved us so much that He came down from heaven and gave His life, and He gave His blood. He shed it on the cross. Then when He was sitting with His disciples, He gave thanks to the Father and broke the bread, and then gave it to His disciples, and His disciples, G-A-V-E, gave it to the multitude. And what we do is we're not pushing for finances. We never ask people for money. We go out and earn our own. We've never asked the federal government, even though we've been asked if we could, told that we could have money from the state and federal government of California and the federal government of the United States. We've never taken one penny of federal money. We don't use taxpayers' money at all. We go out and earn it ourselves, and we put our money where our mouth is, right into the religion. We talk a good religion and we do it. And then we just go out into the highways and hedges when people are sick and in hospitals and in prisons. We visit them and we give them stuff. We will go into the ghettos, and if people are they don't have clothes, we give it to them. If they, but we give them the gospel also, and we win their souls. And that's why we win more souls than everybody else. If, with all the millions of dollars that these other works are doing, if they themselves admittedly tell me that they're not doing even near, not even near, a fraction of what we're doing. So they talk a good religion, and they get a lot of money, but they're not doing the works of Christ. The works of Christ is what we're doing.
Okay. Your group has been called a cult by some people, and I know you disagree with that assessment of the group, but I have two questions. First of all, what would you consider a cult? What type of group would be a cult? And secondly, how does the foundation differ from the other so-called cults, such as Jim Jones' group in Guyana, or the Unification Church of Sun Yung Moon, or something like that?
Okay, we're the closest to the Book of Acts Church that is here that on earth. We're the real body of Christ. Sun Yung Moon is a cult. He says he's Christ. We know that the Bible says that when Jesus comes, every eye will see him and he'll come in the clouds. As far as the Jim Jones, that was a communist group. They were so far from Christianity, they were just the opposite of it. A cult is somebody that drives for a lot of money and they don't do the works of the Lord. If we're winning more souls, the Bible says he that wins souls is wise. So he that wins most souls must be the most wise. A cult is a person or a church that would tell people to do something that the Bible tells you not to do. So we're doing exactly what the Bible says. So we couldn't be a cult. Everything that is in the Bible, we believe 100%. We're the furthest thing from a cult in the world. The world's biggest cult is the Catholic Church. Another large cult is the Mormon Church, the apostate church today, the people that are not going out and winning souls. Jesus said that if you don't win souls, that he'll break, he says, the person that doesn't win souls, a branch from off the vine that doesn't win souls, not only souls, but multitudes of souls, many souls, will be broken off and cast into the fire. So there's no danger of us being broken off and cast into the fire, because we're winning more souls than all the other churches probably in the whole world. So how could we be a cult if we're the ones that are really doing the works with the Bible? Anything like a church that tells you not to read your Bible, like the Catholic Church, that is an out-and-out disaster.
When it comes to the actual beliefs, I can understand your difference from these other groups, but as far as operating procedure, it seems like, at least on the surface, that there might be a similarity between something like the Unification Church and the Foundation, in that members join, they turn over their whole life to the Foundation, they turn over all their needs plus all their works to the Foundation, and they live with other Foundation members 24 hours a day and work with them and so forth. Can you comment on that comparison?
Right. Well, the last thing first, they don't necessarily work here at the Foundation at all. There's just very few people that work at these different businesses. Number two, you have to take care of your house. If you were with the United States Army, you have to clean your barracks. Okay, if you're with the Baptist Church or with the Catholic Church, you have to clean your barracks or wherever you live. It's just the same thing. We have many people that don't live at the church that come to our church. And as far as in comparison with the Unification Church, we're not like them at all. They have out-and-out businesses that they're running for that are not related to the Foundation at all. They've got a newspaper with their organization. They have a newspaper out of Washington, D.C. And they have many other businesses, fishing businesses and so on. All we have is these little dinky businesses over here that just we feed people and we clothe them. And we're not making anything on it at all. And as far as I'm concerned, we run a loss in them. We're not open for business. And I think that that's evident. We must be open for souls, to win souls, and get them right with God and do that. And we're sending these missionaries out into the gospel field, in the missionary field, and they are winning more souls, all of us together, than anyone in the world. So what can I say?
Okay. Why is the Foundation based here in Dyer or Alma? Wouldn't you reach more people based in Los Angeles or New York City?
Well, we are based in Los Angeles. That's where our first church was, and it's still there.
But you and Susan have lived here in Dyer for the past few years.
Yeah, you know, Susie was very sick, and so this is where she was raised. And I wanted to buy the little house that she was raised in, and I fell in love with this area because my little Dolly was raised here. And so we just like the area. It seems like a very, we pioneered up there. And a lot of people, when you're out in the gospel field as many years as we've been, right on the front lines, well, it's nice to come back to a place where it's quiet and peaceful. But I can assure you, we were right into the major cities. Sue and I went many times back to Los Angeles and to major cities to do our work.
Okay. Recently, we've been hearing a lot about the Moral Majority and other religious political groups, and they've been taking an active part in political affairs in this country. And my questions are, first, do you endorse Jerry Falwell's efforts and the efforts of those like him? And why doesn't your group speak out on those political issues?
Why does my group do that?
Why doesn't it?
They've never asked us about political issues. People that are, the founding fathers that came here from England to get away from one world church type government, they set it up to where there should be a separation between church and state. The state is crossing the boundary lines now, and so we're speaking out. I think many of the issues that Falwell is speaking out on are excellent. I like the idea of him doing that. I think that he should speak out on abortion, and I like what he's saying. I'm not a Baptist, but I like what he's saying about it, because the Bible says that we are not our own, that our body was fashioned by the Lord. We're the image and likeness of the Lord, and people shouldn't deface the likeness and image of God. And God said that he would destroy those that defile the temple of God, and that is through lusting and abortions, and he says, thou shalt not kill. I believe that also very much.
Okay, you say no one's ever asked you. You spoke on abortion. I'll ask you about some of the other issues that Mr. Falwell and others have been dealing with. What do you think about prayer in public schools, creation science, things like that?
Well, I think that people should be able to pray in school. Of course, you've got a bunch of people that have been, this country was founded on In God We Trust. And this country used to be strong because they believed that and made sure that we were able to pray in school and read the Bible there. And any country that leaves God will fall, the Bible says. In this country, the law system in it is completely destroyed. Now criminals are protected and the citizen is intimidated. People cannot even walk down the streets in peace in our major cities anymore because they've destroyed the law, just like God said. In the last days, they would make that which is right wrong and that which is wrong right. And so we see a total annihilation of, you extract God out of people and they turn into animals. And you see that in the news. There's so much crime and degeneracy going on that it isn't even news anymore. In your major cities, they don't print half the murders that are going on every single night, or the degeneracy that's going on. You can see pornography parlors lining the streets. It's a shame to even, you can't even walk down the streets nowadays in a city without the lewdness and the filth. The place is like unto Sodom and Gomorrah, like unto the earth was just before God flooded the earth in Noah's time and before he barbecued Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said that the world would be in this shape just as it is now before he comes back to earth and burns the earth. And he's going to do it.
Several times you've mentioned that we are in the last days. What do you see happening over the next 5-10 years in this world we live in?
I don't know that the world will go 10 years. I think it's going to get, just like Jesus said, worse and worse. Things shall wax worse and worse. Now, I'm Jewish. Yeah, my real name is Bernie Lazar Hoffman, and God said just before Jesus comes back to earth again that the Jews would be preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. He said that their armies of the world would encompass around and about Israel, but they would never destroy Israel. He said that he would destroy all the nations that will rise up against Israel. And now the United States is backing communist countries that are attacking Israel. And the United States has to fall because of that. God said, I'll bless them that bless the Jew, and I'll curse them that curse the Jew. This country is going to fall.
And
it already has in interior-wise. The communists don't want to drop a bomb on this country. They want to take it over just as it is. They've demoralized the minds of our youth. They're teaching sex education in schools. They're teaching homosexuality. They're teaching evolution. This country is done, and our people that are sending their children to school are paying for their own children to be de-godded.
Okay, thank you for talking with us this morning. Our guest has been Tony Alamo, the founder of the Alamo Foundation, based near Dyer, Arkansas. And that's Fort Smith Country for this morning. I'm Ron Breeding for KTCS News.